I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beef's Golf Club. It's Ryder Cup week, and we're in Rome. It's the most epic event in golf, and we're here to keep you up to date on everything happening behind the scenes and on the golf course. I'm so excited to be here, and we'll be bringing you daily episodes over the course of this weekend. So sit back and enjoy. This is Beef's Golf Club at the Ryder Cup.
Yes, everyone, welcome to Beef's Golf Club at the Ryder Cup. What an incredible first day. A massive win for Europe today, finishing with a 5-point lead. We're going to go get straight into it. I've got Sky Sports reporter Jamie Weir here with me. He's been out there all day. He looks a bit sunburned.
I'm knackered. I haven't even hit a ball.
Sunburned and knackered. How are you, man?
Oh, man, what a day, Beef. Just, I don't think in our wildest dreams we saw this at the end of day one. You know, all the build-up to this has been the sides are so evenly matched, and this could be the closest Ryder Cup since Medina back in 2012. It's not going to be a blowout for either side, and it's a 5-point lead at the end of the first day. I mean, Luke Donald must be pinching himself.
Mate, it's absolutely insane. I mean, that obviously the first session to win 4-0, first time it's ever happened for Europe. And then I think to go out in the afternoon and you look at the way the games were panning out, and I felt Europe were going a bit flat sort of midway through the games, and to turn it round, and I mean, that last game.
Yeah, the last sort of two matches, the sort of last half hour of play, everything just turned round. I mean, that's... The European side will feel that was daylight robbery, having nicking a few halves from the two of those matches. That last match, we'd given up on it. We were walking back to the media centre thinking, right, well, unfortunately, Bob and Rosie are going to lose their match, but never mind. 6-2 is a great lead. And then we say, well, hang on, they've won 17. Let's get ourselves to 18. And for Justin Rose to hit that to, what was it, like 9-10 feet? And the whole that putt and that reaction from Justin Rose. Here's a guy who's been there, seen it, done it, got the T-shirt, a major champion, been in multiple Ryder Cup teams, winning Ryder Cup teams as well. That reaction was visceral, like, the, you know, pumping his chest, pointing at his teammates. We might need to get a lip reading expert exactly for what he said. But wow, I mean, just, and the energy from the crowd for that last half hour, there were just roars reverberating all around this place.
Mate, absolutely incredible. I think we should have a chat through all the matches. I think let's go into match one, Hovland and Hatton versus Thomas and Spieth. It ended up tied, and it was such a sort of up and down, topsy-turvy kind of match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just swinging one way and the other, you know. A lot of people sort of raised a few eyebrows that, that Thomas and Spieth were rested for this morning. You know, Justin Thomas in particular is the emotional heartbeat of the US team. Surely you want him out in the opening session to G up the US crowd, especially, and the US players, especially when they're on foreign soil. They were rested. Okay, surely they're going to come out of the traps like caged tigers in the afternoon. And there was one stage when you're thinking, ah, this is classic JT and Spieth. This is only headed one way. And then Tyrrell Hatton and Victor Hovland just grabbed that match by the scruff of its neck. I mean, what more can we say about Victor Hovland? He was immense all day today, but this afternoon, man, that guy's got some serious stones.
Absolutely. Serious stones. I mean, the amount of, like, obviously opening up with a chip shot on the first in the morning and the putt on the last. And things like that, just everything, you know, when things are going your way and things seem to be going Europe's way today, just that putt, I thought the putt on the last, as soon as he hit it and it went over the ridge, I was like, he's left it short.
He thought he had as well, I think.
And it was still going and just dropped in the front edge. They've battled really well. I mean, playing against Spieth and Justin Thomas, I mean, such a difficult pairing. Yeah. They're such gritty competitors. I thought there was a couple really... really good moments in that where Justin Thomas held that putt on 15 for the half where he backed off it and took a load of stick from the crowd. And I thought to stand up and knock that in, also more importantly on 18, his chip shot's nearly gone in as well.
Yeah,
and the
totally.
Next thing, he's got 4 foot to tie it.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, you
fair play to him to stand up and unrule that one straight in, right?
100%. I was like, hats off to you. I was like, I wouldn't want to be putting either of them.
No.
I was like, fair play to you. Well, mate, as we're discussing this, there's an absolute festival outside.
It's kicking off. I want to go and join the party. It sounds great.
Everyone's going to be so buzzing coming off the golf joining the party. But yeah, it's like a festival in here. Well, let's have a look at match two as well, mate. Rahm and Højgaard against Scheffler and Koepka. Yeah. I mean, what a way to start for Højgaard, but in the first.
I was so pleased for Nicolai because, you know, he must have been so nervous. Your first experience of a Ryder Cup at the age of 22 and you're out there with the world number one standing opposite you and the world number three, a two-time major champion as your partner and a five-time major champion on the other side as well. I mean, it's a pretty elevated company to be in, and to hit that, you know, perfect tee shot, second shot right into the sort of heart of the green, and then to roll in that big curving putt. What a way to announce yourself, and so chuffed for him. But this is another one that just looked as if it was just kind of ebbing away from Europe, and then, I mean, it all sort of hinged on the 16th, didn't it? I think we're still catching our breath from that.
This is exactly what this golf course, 16, 17, 18, was built for, right?
Right.
For that entertainment. And I mean, Nicolai had about 30, 40 foot for a two. America were in for a three already. And then John Rahm, I mean, he's chipped in three times today.
Yeah.
To chip it in again, I mean, he's just an absolute machine.
I don't know. I watch a lot of golf. You obviously have been in a lot of tournaments, played a lot of golf. Are there more chips hold in the Ryder Cup than any tournament you can think of? I don't know what it is. Like, just chips seem to go in. Putts seem to go in from distance. But today it was the chips were just dropping from everywhere.
I think when you're playing a stroke play event, you know, you're looking at it from sort of a percentage type of way.
Right, yeah.
So you're 40 foot away, good putt. Don't hit it too hard. Just
let's
good
just
speed
get up and down
and
here.
Stuff. If you drop it in the front edge, when it's here and you go, well, I've got to make it, it's a completely different
mindset. It's all
mindset.
Or nothing. Win or bust. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that just makes you more aggressive. Doesn't matter if you knock it 10 foot past. We've got to get it to the hole. We've got to try and knock this in. And I think that is the different mentality. And that's why you see it so much in the Ryder Cup. It just brings every ounce of drama.
Yeah, amazing. So, you know, Rahm does that at 16, gets the match back to all flat. Scotty Scheffler then goes and birdies 17. And the reaction from, I've never seen Scotty Scheffler react like that.
No, it's phenomenal. I mean, he's nearly just slam dunked it straight in the hole on 17, especially after where John Rahm's in it as well to step up and do that. I mean, I looked at the lineup of that game, and when you look at Scheffler and Koepka and John Rahm in the same group, and I was like, it's like him and Koepka are like two silverback gorillas going at it.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. It's 18, man. I'm still sort of slightly in shock about what John Rahm did there. I mean, that just... unbelievable approach, and that putt is going 10 foot past if it doesn't hit the back of the cup. And you can tell from his reaction, he kind of just took his cap off and was like, I can't really believe I've just done that, to be quite honest with you.
We talk about like players having celebrations.
Yeah.
He almost looked overwhelmed, and that's one of the first times I've ever seen him that overwhelmed.
Yeah, I was at the back of 18, and he walked off, and I just gave him a like high five, and he just kind of exhaled. He's just like, whew. Like, I cannot believe that I'm shattered. You know, incredible performance from him all day as well. Like, looking back to this morning, the foursomes, like, he led from the front. This is the third time in a row that European captain sent John Rahm out in the opening match, the Ryder Cup, because you know that he's got fire in his belly and he's going to go out there, get some early blue on the board. You know, he's got that Spanish blood, the same blood Seve did all those years ago. He absolutely loves it. He was in his element out there this morning. He and Tyrrell were immense. And then to carry it through this afternoon, you know, there was times when he was maybe tanking a little bit, just kind of flagging because it's hot out there. It's a hilly course. But Nicolai, they sort of, they ham and egg, they dovetailed quite well. And then, yeah, just the stones to go and do that. And eagle the 18th to steal a half. And the Americans must be feeling sick.
Oh, 100%. And going into match three, talking about feeling sick. And this was really you could call it the icing on the cake for Europe, or the ultimate slap in the face for America, was the Bob McIntyre-Rose versus Homer and Clark result. I mean,
mad.
Two down with two to play.
Yeah, mad. I mean, yeah, as I said earlier, we'd kind of written that one off. We thought, well, look, 6-2 is great. And for Bob's sake, I would love him to have got some today, but it's going to be a defeat. Oh, never mind. And then we sort of hear a roar like, they haven't won 17. They have won 17, right? Let's get ourselves to 18. And then after the tee shots in 18, because Bob was in the rough, Rosie was in the bunker, Wyndham Clark pipes it straight down the middle. You're thinking, ah, well, look, they gave it their best shot. Clark then hits, I mean, was it a shank or just a wild block, right?
Oh, I just think he completely come out of it and just blocked it miles right.
Yeah. And then Rosie, like, did you see he actually like had a 7-wood in his hand for a bit? And I was standing next to Finoey and Finnis, Tommy Fleetwood's caddy, and Finoey's like, he's not going to hit that out of the bunker, is he? What? Is he? Has he got a 7-wood? Fushi, tell him not to hit that. And sure enough, he eventually backed off it and just decided to, you know, play for position. And they hit an unbelievable third shot in there inside Max Homa. Thought Max Homa would make the putt, didn't. And as I said, Rosie makes it. And that reaction, man, wow.
Max Homa hit a great putt as well, by the way, watching that just break across the hole. Anything else? Did Finno say anything else? I'm really enjoying this.
I mean, most of it probably isn't repeatable, what Finno says, you know what Finno's like. But, look, I mean, the scene behind that 18th was fantastic. You know, I was chatting away to a number of players, caddies, a few of the other halves as well. And I think everyone was just like in disbelief about how today's panned out, because all three, there was one point when you're thinking this is going to be a 3-1 session to the US. And fair play, you know, at the end of day one, 5-3 is still a decent lead to have. And all three of those matches flipped in what felt like the space of about half an hour. Zach Johnson must be sick as a dog tonight. He must just be thinking everything that could have possibly gone wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah, it is. I think it's one of them. You'll be sitting on the team bus on the way home back to the hotel and you just think, what happened there?
Yeah.
It looked like they were in control of the afternoon. And I was thinking, I said earlier, after the morning session, I was like, if you're Luke Donald, you're looking, if you come out 2-2 here with a draw, you'll be absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
And to come out on top by half a point, I mean, it is a miracle. And a big thanks to match four as well, McIlroy and Fitzpatrick versus Morikawa and Schauffele. I mean, what was Fitzpatrick on first six holes?
Plays his first six holes in 6-under par. And, you know, he was chomping at the bit to play four balls. In his past two Ryder Cups, both on US soil, he's been consigned to foursomes with a kind of veteran who wasn't really performing that week. And he texted me a few weeks ago and said, if I don't play four balls, I'm going to be absolutely livid. And sure enough, he's stuck out in four balls. And he was buzzing. And like I said a bit like earlier about JT and Spieth, like he just came out of the traps like a sort of caged beast ready to go, like, let me at them. You know, to be in the match four in the afternoon as well. So you're the last of your entire team to get your Ryder Cup underway. Plays his first 6 and 6-under par. There was such a buzz about that group. I was walking with Fitz's parents for a while. It was just a really happy atmosphere. They were so happy for him. And they sort of, I mean, you can't keep your foot to the pedal for an entire round. So when you're 6 up through 7, there's going to be a lull at some point. And fair play, you know, Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele are great players. They kind of tried to claw their way back into it. But then Rory just with a dagger on the 15th to just end that match. And yeah, that was great. I'm so chuffed for Fitz. I can't tell you how happy I am for him.
100%. I said, well, you look at his last couple of years, though, winning a major, he's a completely different beast to any other Ryder Cup he's played. And obviously being on home soil, and I was like, you can almost wipe that. Yeah. Wipe the history of it, because I find it's a completely different player
totally.
Now going into this.
Yeah.
And also, the way E6 under after six, and then you think, oh, he's actually missed one, and then Rory goes and makes birdie on seven.
I know.
I was like that. That is so cheeky.
That was a proper roar when that one went in. I was right next to the seventh green when that one went in as well. And you know what's funny? Rory's the only player that ends the first day with a 2-0 record, played both, won both. And I don't think Rory's even had his best stuff today. That's the scary thing for the US, because Europe's talisman, Europe's most experienced player, is 2-0, having still got something in the tank, you would think. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, whether, you know, players are rested. You think that Luke Donald's got his team in that position now, where he has the luxury of saying, Roy McIlroy, Victor Hovland, John Rahm, you don't have to go all five sessions. And coming into this, I thought he's going to have to ride those three hard. World number 2, 3, and 4. They're going to have to go five sessions. Now, 5-point lead at the end of day one. Pick your feet up in the morning, Rory, why not?
Yeah. We'll see you at 11.
Go have a massage, have a, you know, jacuzzi, just chill out, have a little espresso, turn up for the four balls, hose them in the afternoon. Job done.
Do you know what? I reckon he might wait one more session before he does that.
I think you might be right. I think Rory might play in the morning as well, and we'll see where we are at lunchtime tomorrow. But Rory himself said to me, walking off the back of 18, he just sort of shook his head in disbelief and went, how on earth have we won that session? Because I think because it was looking like their match was going to be the first to finish. The other three were so in the balance. And then he must have been looking up the scoreboard, seeing all that red, thinking, ugh, 3-1, look. It's not terrible, but okay. And as I said, they turned all three top matches around. Wow.
One last question. Well, maybe two last questions. What would you do if you're Zach Johnson?
What would you do if you're Zach Johnson? You know, it's interesting. I was chatting to Suzanne Pettersson a little bit earlier on today, the winning Solheim Cup captain, who, of course, after her opening session, found her side 4-0 down. And captains always say they have a game plan that they want to stick to. But Suzanne said, you know, okay, if it goes horribly, she said this before it started, if it goes horribly wrong, of course we've got a plan B, plan C, plan D. Well, it did go horribly wrong in that first session. She didn't panic, but she did have to suddenly go to an emergency plan, go on gut instinct rather than stick to what they'd planned in beforehand. Zach Johnson, I feel today, probably did, even after that disastrous opening session, I think he stuck to the game plan, and I think that was maybe a mistake. What does he do now? You're 5 points down in an away Ryder Cup, and it's 30 years since the US won on European soil. I mean, his head must be spinning. The only thing he will say, and this, you know, once the dust settles, he has to sort of keep calm and say to his team, look, you're all world-class golfers. If Europe can win a day 6.5, 1.5, then there's no reason we can't win a day 6.5, 1.5 as well. Let's go out there in the morning. Let's give them absolutely everything we've got. And just, you know, they will wobble. If there's suddenly this red in that scoreboard, you know, we could crack them. But I tell you what, it's a long, long, long way back from here. And that European team is going to be buzzing tonight. Luke's challenge is to keep feet in the ground.
Yeah, big time. I mean, it's the most dangerous place to be in, you know. Going into tomorrow, if America was to turn it around, I mean, they've got all the momentum going into the singles, and it's, again, you know what they're like, world-class players, and you don't want to give them a sniff of anything going in tomorrow if you're Europe.
And I think you want a bit of a buffer going into the singles as well, because I think traditionally the US are always stronger in the singles. You know, you look through their team and you think, right, I mean, they're all studs. So I would love to have a 3-point lead, let's say, going into singles, I think would be great. But it's a 5-point lead at the moment, so, well, let's be greedy. What's the most we can get? We could win it tomorrow. 14.5, 1.5.
No word of a lie. We did a talk at the hotel last night, and some guy we met, he says, every Ryder Cup I put a bet on Europe to beat them before the singles, and he puts £2.50 on.
Is that
obviously
right?
He's lost every time.
Yeah.
And it is about 1,800 to 1 or something ridiculous.
Wow. Well, a prominent bookmaker who I won't name for obvious reasons has already paid out in a European win. They paid out this morning at lunchtime. You know, so you're looking confused.
No way they have.
Yeah. I think you can guess which bookmaker. A bookmaker that's always trying to think outside the box and do things a bit differently. So they paid out after a 4-0 opening session. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And yeah, where do the stakes go from here?
No, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow, mate. Thanks so much for coming on, man, and I'll catch up with you over the weekend.
Cannot wait.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, everyone, we've only gone and bumped into Beef's Golf Club's number one commentator, Andrew Cotter. How are you, man?
Am I the number one commentator, Beef? Or is that just a friendly lie?
Number one commentator, yeah. Number one at Beef's Golf Club, still up way up in that tower.
Still up in that tower, still number one driving companion up the east coast of Scotland. No,
number one coffee finder as well. There's a lot of number ones going on.
There are indeed a lot of number ones going on. What's this beat music that's going on in the village? This does my head in. This is the way golf. This is the way sporting events are now. You see it at Wentworth for the BMW the PGA Championship, and it's just and here. I mean, these young people and their crazy bopping, and I don't know. Honestly, I like golf just to be golf. The golf provides the entertainment, not this nonsense. Anyway, no, it's good. You like it. You like a bit of this.
Yeah, I like it. It's like a festival. I mean, what more do you want? An absolutely epic day, first day of the Ryder Cup, and then you get to go to a festival, yeah, jump up and down for an hour.
I like an absolutely epic first day of the Ryder Cup, and then silence for people to reflect upon it. And drive home chatting to each other and perhaps listening to the crickets on a Roman evening chirping away in a warm Italian night. That's what I'd like, but no, we're human beings, so we make a lot of noise.
Mate, you've obviously done a load of Ryder Cups.
This is my 11th Ryder Cup. 11th, yeah.
Wow, have you seen anything like this today?
I've not. I remember 2004 Oakland Hills in Detroit. Europe blasted out a big lead. I think that was 6-2. But no, I've not seen anything less. I've not seen anything where the Americans came and looked. Now, they could have, if they'd rolled in three putts in the last hole instead of the Europeans rolling in three putts, it would have been, what, a two-point lead instead of a five-point lead. But they looked really, you know, we wondered when they were coming in, we wondered if they might be a little bit rusty because of the layoff. A lot of them haven't played competitive golf recently. They looked that way. They looked disjointed. they weren't hauling parts back. You know, some of the reads they were getting and some of the... Anyway, it was... you know, when teams do badly in a Ryder Cup, there's always an inquest into what is the reason for it, an explanation for it. Sometimes it's just that players don't have a great day out there. It might turn around tomorrow.
100%. It's sport at the highest level. And I mean, the margins are so fine. And like, you look at some of the putts that didn't go in for America, they're not necessarily bad putts. Some of them are good putts. Loads just slide past the hole and the odd bounce here and stuff like that. You know what sport's like. It's
fine margins. Really is
fine margins.
Fine margins. Yeah, it's... I mean, listen, the European team, first of all, they look such a close unit, though. And that's... You know, it sounds a bit trite to say, but that really can matter a great deal. You know, if you're willing to, if you, you know, how much they want. Of course, both teams want it, but I just look at the European team and I think that's a unit of old, a European team. And the strange thing is, of course, they all live in America now, and it's not the European Tour against the PGA Tour, Europe against America, and the great divide as it used to be. But I am seeing a lot of unity. You know, Sepp Straka is effectively American, but my goodness, he's fighting for Europe in there, and. Couldn't have been more Austrian if he'd wandered on wearing lederhosen. And do they wear lederhosen, or is that south of Germany? Anyway, I think they both do, really. Anyway, so that tightness in the team seems to be good. Now, I'm delighted for Luke Donald, who obviously you know is just is a classy operator.
Oh, he really is. He really is. I got asked a few questions about him and about his captaincy, and I said, he'll be ruthless. And I was like, you cannot get to number one in the world without being ruthless.
Somebody, I saw a tweet from somebody, and it was, I was doing a, in me responding to it, I thought, this guy, it shows that I've just been looking at replies to another tweet, so it shows a little bit of sadness on my part and in my life, emptiness, I think. But anyway, I looked at the replies to this tweet, and it was a guy saying, who's Luke Donald? The only time I've seen him is, why is he being Ryder Cup? It was an American guy saying, why is he Ryder Cup captain? Only time I've seen him was in Tiger Woods, video game. And I replied saying, well, he was number one in the world for 56 weeks, for over a year. He was in the top 10 in the world for a cumulative 4 years. He played in 4 Ryder Cups and won them all. Oh, and he won the money list in both the US and Europe in the same year. So I didn't get a reply to that.
The only reason...
Got some likes, though. That's all that matters.
Yeah, the only reason I could give him is that he's 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly. He might be 8 years old. So in that case, I'm just abusing a child on the internet. And that's terrible. That doesn't reflect well on me at all.
Trolling 8 year olds.
No, but he had... his username was something 78. So I think he's born in 1978. So... Unless he's a 7.8-year-old child, maybe. Anyway, listen, the thing about me coming on to chat to you this evening that I like this because we go back a little bit, but and also I've been on Beavs Golf Club before, but also because we now have a chipping forecast podcast, which is a rival golf ball, but I like to think there's no such thing as rivalry. We're all sharing the same happy golf podcast space.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's sharing the love. It really is. And like when I just don't get it when if you're going to have a podcast against podcast and be like, oh, and you're a rival and stuff, it's about coming together and creating more good content and more good episodes together.
I mean, I can see from your operation that you're a professional outfit, whereas we're hopeless bungling amateurs, but that's mostly Eddie Pepperell's fault.
Tell me your standout moment of today.
I think the standout moment has to... Well, there were a few, weren't there? I mean, it has to have been on the 18th green, probably Ram's putt, because that was going past. But also the way he finished, you know, there's something about... And the way he instantly involved Nicolai Højgaard, and he was praising him as his partner, you know, a rookie, a young guy, big, big talent, but he's no John Ram. And John Ram in the big moment stood up and sort of carried things a little bit for Europe. And, you know, his chip in on the 16th, and then rolling in that putt on the 18th for an eagle. Yeah, he's class, isn't he? But I enjoy the atmosphere in general. I do think that I wish we didn't have so much cheering for missed putts and saying get in the water and things like that, booing when the Americans come on the tee. That's not the way to do it. It should all be about if our team does well, that's all I care about, and we're going to beat your team. So, you know, I was impressed with Justin Thomas, actually. He was getting barracked a little bit, and Scotty Scheffler as well, and they responded in the best possible way, rolling in the putts.
I thought Justin Thomas on 15, when he sort of backed off the putt and everyone cheered, and I just thought, I put myself in that position, and I just thought, you do not want to be there. And for him to knock it in and turn around to the crowd in front of it just shows what type of character he is. And
also, it's pretty
I thought
stupid.
That was amazing.
You don't want to do it to Justin Thomas, because he's just going to say, right, I'm going to show you. And he did, rolled it in, turned to the crowd and said, sorry, what? So, yeah. But it was, listen, there's such a long way to go, but that's such a big lead. We know it can turn around quite quickly, but the Americans are going to have to get off to, they're going to have to, you know, at least 3-1 tomorrow morning session.
So if you're Luke Donald, are you putting out the strongest foursomes you can and trying to make that lead bigger going into the four ball?
Well, look, he's got guys like Tommy Fleetwood who didn't play this afternoon, had a good rest, and Shane Lowry. I'll say Shane Lowry had a good rest. I mean, Shane Lowry was bouncing around in the fairways with every group out there, but my goodness, that guy is pumped for this, isn't he? So, but yeah, you've got some big names who had a bit of a rest this afternoon and are able to come back in. So I think it, yeah, well, obviously it looks really good for Europe, but I think they'll have a decent start. And foursomes, you know, they do pretty well in foursomes.
It can be quite a dangerous place to live in, you know. If I was there, you're thinking, yeah, you cannot let the door open. And if America was to get back into it and turn it around, they'll have full momentum going into Sunday as well. So it really is. I think tomorrow morning is a really important session.
It's a vital session for the USA, because if they suddenly find, you know, they could. I'm not saying they're going to be swept tomorrow morning, but you know. Europe could be getting close to double figures in points. And that psychologically is, my God, we're not far away. You know, we've still got another session and then the singles to go. So it's just, I think it's such a long way back from here. Now, Brookline, 1999, Europe led 6-2 after the opening day. So a comparable scoreline today. And we all know what happened to Brookline in the singles. So of course it can be turned around. But I'm not sure against this quality of a European side, and certainly top 8 players are big game players as well. I think it's almost too long a way back for USA. I hope it's not, because I still want to see a close match. That's what you want. You want drama, you want intrigue on the final day, but they're going to have to get something really good from the second day morning session.
And finally, mate, obviously you're out here with commentary, but you're recording your podcast too, the Chipping Forecast.
Yes, well, are
with
we?
Ian Carter and obviously
Eddie Pepperell.
The great Eddie Pep. The great Eddie Pep. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I mean, it started, you know, we used to do a podcast long before there was Beef's Golf Club. There was a podcast at the BBC called The Cut, and the BBC cut that for some reason. And then Eddie Pepperell and I started one called The Pepper Pod in COVID times. But then strange dog things happened for me, so it kind of got dropped, and Eddie went off down a rabbit hole of investigating COVID vaccines and things like that. So, I don't know. It's fun. We try and offer something different. A bit like you guys. You know, it's golf, but it's hopefully some entertaining chat as well. So that's the Chipping Forecast on wherever you get your podcasts, and as well as Beef's Golf Club. They're both good. Listen to them both.
That's it. Listen to them both, guys, and go and check it out. And, mate, thanks so much for popping by, and I'll probably come and find you tomorrow somewhere.
You're very welcome. We'd love to get you as a guest on the Chipping Forecast. You and Eddie Pepperell together would break the internet. I'm going to get a coffee from a vending machine now. Do you want one?
A coffee vending machine? No,
actually, it's not bad, the machine
there. That's not Andrew Cotter's standard.
I don't know. You have to cut your cloth accordingly, and sometimes you just have to take what coffee's available. Especially during the Ryder Cup. Long days, fatigue. You need the caffeine. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the next 2 days. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, always. Thanks so much for coming on, mate.
Cheers, Beef.
How great is Andrew Carter? As we always say, absolutely love his voice, and he's a great laugh. But right now, we got producer Ryan back, and he's got a new hat.
I've been off to the pro shop, mate. Have you been in there?
No, well, I've seen it. It's like a warehouse.
It's like an absolute air hanger, and it's completely blue, and it's the biggest shop I've ever been in. And you go in, and there must be a million caps in there. Loads of different colours. I went for a black one. Approve?
I think it's looking pretty smart. Yeah, that place, think of a Sports Direct on steroids. That's what it's like.
And it also, though, to be fair, if you go in Sports Direct, a cap won't cost you north of 20 quid, which I think is quite embarrassing, isn't it, that I've got one? But, you know.
All right, go on. What was the price on it?
It was 25 English pounds for, which I think was 29 euros for the black Ryder Cup cap. That isn't even a team specific one. If I'd have got, that was going to be over 30 quid, and I couldn't bring myself to spend over 30 quid on a cap. So I thought a little souvenir, but anyway. But you know, it's our first Ryder Cup, isn't it? And it's your first Ryder Cup, and it's your first day at a Ryder Cup. How has it been?
It's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it feels like about a week ago since we turned up here this morning.
I went straight to the first tee and had a look at the first tee, and I've never seen anything like it in golf before. I've never seen the atmosphere. When Tyrrell and John walked out and the noise and the crowd, it sent shivers up my spine. I mean, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And like the adrenaline that the players must be feeling, there's nothing like it in golf. There really isn't. And having their formats and the match play formats where guys are pressurized into making shots, obviously they're so good, the best players in the world, they start making shots. And some of the plays, some of the chip-ins, the putts we've seen today are just out of this world.
That's amazing. And also some of the outfits and vibes, for want of a better word, are probably a bit out of this world. It's literally like a festival out there, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah. Festival. We've seen everyone dressed in yellow and blue, sort of one leg yellow trousers, one leg blue trousers.
They
together.
Sort of look like minions, don't they?
Minions, crazy funky hats. I saw some astronauts on there, which looked awful. It's 30 degrees and the geezer's got his helmet on. All his mates have got them up so you can actually breathe, and one of them had it down, and I was like, this ain't going to end well.
To be fair, I saw one group who were dressed as gladiators and they were wearing basically like a toga, which was actually quite good for the heat, I imagine. So they got it right. That's definitely better than the astronauts. But I mean, yeah, we need to basically find the best outfits over the weekend, don't we? But there were some really good ones today.
I also, yeah, I did see Tommy Fleetwood take a picture with Caesar as well. That was pretty cool.
Be Caesar, wow. Yeah. Oh, mate, what a day. It's been absolutely fantastic. You weren't, the thing I saw today that took me back was how you were right about the rough. Like when we were walking around the things, it was literally like being in an uncut field that hadn't been touched for, you know, weeks and weeks. So you were right about that.
It really is. It's like US Open standard rough.
Yeah.
You miss the fairway, you're really penalised. As you said, the scoring, you've seen some crazy scoring. You know, Rory and Fitzy have shot 10 under in 4-ball today. Absolutely unbelievable. But you are going to find problems if you hit it offline and get in that rough. I mean, it is brutal.
I was thinking we should probably go and hide some of the Beefs Golf Club golf balls that we've got with us just in the rough. And it'd be quite funny if one of the players stuck it with their ball and then, you know, started playing with it. That'd be quite fun with your face on.
Imagine Shane Lowry picks one up and thinks, what are these pictures of myself on a golf ball?
That's the dream. But also, let's go hide some tomorrow. And then if anyone at the Ryder Cup who listens to Beef Golf Club finds them, that'd be quite fun as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think we should go and hide a few. Or even I wonder if we could get anyone to chuck a few out or something like that.
Yeah.
And just call some atmosphere. Maybe we could get someone to chuck it out. Cole Sartz or one of the vice captains chuck a few out on the first tee.
I'd love that.
Well, mate, it's an epic first day for Europe. Let's see what tomorrow holds. Have a good night, everyone.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.